I'm sure I'm not the only one of us looking down on this desolate wilderness who hasn't wished for an impure moment that the North Pole, rather than being in the middle of an ocean, was solid, well-marked, and even supplied with a hut and a coffee machine. But the cracked and fissured ice pack offers no comfortable reassurance, no glimmer of any reward to the traveller who has made his way to the top of the world. The Arctic Ocean, known to the Victorians as the Sea of Ancient Ice, stares balefully back as we descend towards it, reflecting nothing but the question, why? It's too late to ask the producer now, too late to begin to speculate why I so eagerly agreed to come here, and completely out of order even to mention that if we survive this ice landing, we have only another 12,500 miles to go. At 2 minutes past four, our de Havilland Twin Otter, designed in the 50s and much loved and trusted by Arctic flyers, is finally over the North Pole. One almost looks for a point, a peak, a curve, offering tantalising glimpses of those huge landmasses, Alaska, Siberia, Scandinavia and Canada, which back onto the Arctic. But all there is to see is ice, and the nearer we get to it, the more evident it is that the ice is not in good shape. Russ, a self-contained, taciturn man about whom I know nothing other than that my life is in his hands, leans forward from the controls, scanning the conditions below and frowning.